You that we can come together. We come before you, Lord, today. We ask you, Lord, that you quicken our minds and our hearts. Lord, that your way, your words, your thoughts may come forth as we are sharing today, that you may minister to us life and victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the series that we've been going through up to now it's been a long one, 23 different weeks. But I believe it's such an important topic, an important series that you should keep listening to it until it gets inside you to the place where it starts to be completely effective. You know, we dealt with the idea that August, the things in the Scripture that are getting the people ready for the time we are in. These are exciting times. These are time of change. And a time of new things to happen in the body of Christ. And unless we wake up to what's taking place, we just are left behind. People thought, worry so much about what's going to happen with the rapture or not, whatever. But that's not the issue. You know, what happens there doesn't really matter. What matters is that if we are ready, if we are ready to be used by God the way He wants to use us. You know, there were three, you know, in that series, there were three blocks of ideas or thought that ministered to, you know, transformation, power of the Word of God, that we had to realize how important it is to realize the power that is in the world. The Word is what changes us and what, and it's not just Bible study. You know, Bible study, people have been doing Bible study for years, forever. But the impact, you know, if you see what happened to the church, instead of going forward, going backwards sometime. Nevertheless, there have been some progress in some areas. Okay. If you compare what was going on in Christianity 100 years ago and what's going on today, you see the difference, what so-called believers experience and the way they experience the world today, the way they really deal with it. You just read some stuff from the past. And you see how far the majority of the Christians are going backward today. Even if we have so much more information available to us, if things are so much easier for us to come to us. But that's not completely true. Okay. That's only part of the story. That's the majority. The real believers come into the realization of what it means to be a believer. And so that was the second part of the series, you know, really the new reality of the person that is actually truly a believer. That means born again and spirit-filled. And that set us the place for what's coming later, which is actually, you know, the full manifestation of the sonship that is the whole world is waiting for. See, this is really setting the stage for what's happening now. And this is what's happening. You know, this is really the things that's going to make a big difference in the walk the believers have and the way their life is going to be, their ability. But you know, this cannot manifest. You know, we can't talk about the manifestation of the sons of God if we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to do the things that Jesus did when he walked on earth. See, the same Spirit that was in Christ is in us. And we have to fully, this is, so we are moving into the new series that, you know, actually the Lord has been preparing. And the title is The Helper. You see, He's the one that helped us. The way it's been up to now, most of the people have been, you know, we think that we had to help Him. He is the helper. And He is not going to do anything if we don't do something. And we do something by believing and acting on the Word. We have to become doers. So, you know, it's the way we see ourselves, the way we see God, the way we relate to Him that makes all the difference. You know, there is a scripture that I was doing last week, and I'm going to pick up from that. There's a 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied, and I'm going to go to all the analysis and explanation that I gave you last week. But just this is the beginning of getting up and to understand some of the things that we have to focus on. You know, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things. Can you say all things? Not just some things, all things. Has given all things. So we had to start believing that. We had to start acting on that. We lack nothing. You know, there is, in this series here, we are going to talk about something really practical, really down to earth, really that applies to doing more than anything else. You know, there is a component about faith that we had to realize, and we had to realize where we are. At every moment, we had to walk by faith. And faith has a feeling with it. And the feeling, see, when you pray the prayer of faith, there has to be a certain feeling with it. When you walk in faith, there is a certain feeling with it. Faith means the Holy Spirit is operating in you and is manifesting in you. And when that happens, we have all things. And by, you know, when your spirit has all things that should have, there is a feeling of fullness inside. There's a feeling of pressure out. Is flowing out of you. When faith is operating in you, you are going to feel something going out of you. When fear is operating in you, which is the opposite of faith, there's going to be a feeling of lacking and emptiness, a feeling of sucking in instead of pushing out. So it becomes very easy, you know, to realize when Jesus said, you know, rivers of living water will flow out of your belly. That's where it comes from. So that is really the feeling that you have. It's a pressure or a push that comes from inside. But when you are afraid, the feeling there is the opposite. You are sucking in. You are lacking. See, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, and just comes out of you. That makes it so easy to determine at any moment where you are at. You don't need to be there thinking or trying to figure it out if you believe or not. When you really believe, you are in a different space. Are you following me? See, there is a fullness in us, which is God in us, the hope of glory. I mean, when God is in you and the hope of glory is there, I mean, you are lacking nothing. You have everything that you need for life and godliness. That's what it says here. You know. But given us all things for life, pertaining life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue. Hallelujah. And has given, you know, verse 4, 2 Peter 1, 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partaking of the divine nature. Hallelujah. See the divine disposition, the divine abilities. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You don't need to, you see, lust or desire is the same thing. The word there is desire, wanting. You have got everything. You don't need anything. You got it. Today, you got it. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Today, if you act in faith, you got everything you need. There is nothing that you lack of. Hallelujah. And then goes on, say all the things that we had to operate, we know. So, you know, for this reason, giving all diligence. I mean, if you are there thinking about other stuff, you know, we have a choice. We have, God has given us free choices for us to focus on what He has given us and develop the way He wants us to, or to go and waste our time and waste our life going after other things. You know. For this reason, for the realization that what we have, give all diligence and add to your faith virtue. And that's the way it starts. You know, start with faith. Virtue is not just being pious. Virtue is, the word there in Greek means manhood. Means strength. So he's talking about adding to your faith spiritual strength. That's what he's talking about. Spiritual strength. To virtual knowledge, you know, really the spiritual understanding, you know, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Hallelujah. See, if these things are in you and abound, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, this is probably, just that promise should get us excited. We are not going to be unfruitful and barren. We are going to produce fruit. We are going to have results. We are going to have impact on the world around us, because it's not us doing it, it's Him. He is working in us and enabling us to achieve His purposes, doing what He was doing when He was here. It goes on there. He says, you know, but if you lack these things, is, you know, he who lacks this thing is foresighted. That means, you know, he's just looking immediate gratification. He's just trying to get things instead of allowing God to produce and make the results. Even to blindness, and has forgotten what he has cleansed on from the old sins. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Therefore, you know, be even more diligent and make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Hello. We will never stumble. We have the guarantee. This is God's promise to us. You know, do you believe the scriptures or you believe your thinking? Do you believe, you know, what everybody says, or you believe what God says? Okay, the point is here, you know, that, well, if you look at ourselves, and you know, I'm stumbled all the time, but because you're looking at the wrong thing. You have to start opening up. And you know, how do you start overcoming? You start by believing what the Word of God says, and then you start acting as the Word of God says, and the God, the power and the Holy Spirit is going to guide you and empower you and quicken you to do the things that He's calling you to do. So that it's us allowing Him to work in us. See, He's not forcing anybody. We have to be willing and obedient. Just be willing and do nothing doesn't do much. Okay? So there are decisions. There are commitments that we have to make to be able to achieve this. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't teach everybody. He teaches those that listen. He knows that they are willing to go out on a limb for it, to take a position, and to do things, and even to make mistakes, if necessary, to learn. Praise the Lord. See, what we are dealing with here, you have to realize, is that we are being equipped for the times that are coming. Because the times that are coming are not going to be easy. But the fact that they're not easy doesn't matter. Okay. Because if we have been equipped by God with the things that we need, and He knows better than we do sometimes, all the time, then we have all things. We just finished reading that. We have all things for life and godliness. Praise the Lord. Let's say it together. I mean, sometimes, you know, you have to confess some truth to appropriate it. That's the way we get saved. That's the way we get free. Praise God. So, we have all things for life and godliness. You know, now you apply that idea to your walk, to your situation, to the way your expectations. You know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit was working on me last night was about my expectations. You know, showing me that my expectations are far too insignificant respect to what He wants to do. And we all should have the same thing. Well, we all should see that thing that way because, you know, He can do all things. We can do all things. Believers can do all things. Hallelujah. So we don't have to be there operating in fear. In fear what's going to happen, in fear is going to be the message, in fear that, you know, we are going to be left out, in fear whatever. What we have to do is with courage, with the power of the Holy Spirit, start allowing the Spirit of God to work in us, to quicken us, so that we start seeing the impact, the results that we have that are not just human results. I mean, miracles should be the normal things for us to walk in. Better, and I'm saying better, than the early church. Because the early church had lots of problems. The Spirit of God was moving because a few people were really developed to a large degree to be able to operate in the power of God. But not the majority. I mean, they were just baby having to grow. And it didn't take very much for the old things to start kind of decreasing. But we are not on those times anymore. We are getting charged up for what is coming, which is Jesus coming. And the time are coming in which there is going to be, you know, the fight between good and evil is going to increase. So we need to have the power of God fully manifested in us so that we can operate as sons of God and children of God and to produce the result that they were producing at the beginning and even better. But that's not going to happen because just God is going to do it. It's going to happen because we respond to the call. See, we are making our call and election sure by doing the things that we are talking about before and realize that all things have been given to us so that the Holy Spirit can start working in us the way He wants to, and we are not confused about it, but we are able. We are enabled to do the things that He expects us to do. And we are actually implementing some of the things that Jesus said we would do and implement. Hallelujah. See, this is something that's been waited for from the beginning of times. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 19, it says very clearly, for earnestly. I mean, that means, you know, that really there is a strong desire, the earnest expectation of creation, eager waits for the revelation of the sons of God. See, this is what Jesus came to prepare. It's not just to take away our sins. That's just the mere beginning of the story. Jesus came to do much more than take away our sins. He came us to make us children of God. We are born in God's family. That's why he said you had to be born again. And we, you know, born again is just a religious thing most of the time. It's been, you know, this more than that. We are children of God, and with children of God, we get the inheritance that we should receive as children. Are you still there? Not raptured yet? I'm almost there. You know, if I study this stuff at night, I can go to sleep after. I had to try to cool down. Honestly. Because it's so exciting to see, you know, starting to see what's happening in the world, where we are at in this place, at the time we are in, and the things that are developing and are growing. And we need to wake up to that reality and respond to that so that we make our call and election sure. Because our call and election is not to sit in the pews. Our call and election is to be believers. And as believers, we are called to go out and to share the gospel and to lay hands on the sick and to cast out demons and to do all those things that they said Jesus we should do. This is not for just some special people. You know, some of the fivefold ministry. See, the fivefold ministry should do the work that they should be doing. And that is to operate in the Holy Spirit so that they are effective in the work they are doing to prepare and to equip the people, the believers, for the work that they had to do, because those are the ones that had to do the work. Are not just a few there, you know, a preacher or a pastor or something, and there are 50, 100, 200, 300 people there sitting and doing nothing. That was never the plan. Verse 20, Romans 8. For the creation was subjected to futility, we're not willing to, but because of him who subjected him to hope. In hope. Because the creation also itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now I'm going to not to go through all this analysis here, and we're going to talk that some other times. I want to read the verse coming after. Verse 22. For we know. I want you have to realize this. We have to know. And the word there, know, is not ginosko or epignosko, the other things that we talk about knowledge. It's eido in Greek, which actually means we see. We can see what's going on. Hello? You see, we have to be able to see around us and see what is going on to respond and to realize, you know, where we are at the moment. Do you know? That's the question. Do we realize where we are at? Because if we realize that we are at and we don't respond to that, we don't do something to that, there's something wrong with our experience. So for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have a first fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You see, that's what should be. You see, that we know and we know that we had the first fruit. I mean, that's the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's the first fruit. It's the operation of the Holy Spirit within us, which is a supernatural manifestation taking place in our life because we have yielded to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit has taken over. Enable us to do the things that God wants us to do. That's why Jesus said, you know, don't do anything. Wait in Jerusalem to the initial apostles, because otherwise you're going to mess it up. You cannot do it in your mental strength, in your ability, and so on. The only way you're going to do it is through the power and the anointing of God and the wisdom of God. This is why the way Paul operated. That's the way Peter operated. I mean, he would go around, people in his shade would get healed. You know, Paul would pray on a handkerchief and they would go there and the anointing in the handkerchief would cast out demons and heal people. I mean, you should see things happening like that in your life. They weren't special, taking out of the, they were just operating in what God had given them, and is still the same power because God doesn't change. It's always the same. God does not change. He can't change. Because otherwise we had to be always better than he was before. And he is already better. Amen? All right. Okay, for we are first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves. You see, if we have the fruit of the Spirit, you start groaning within yourself about this. Within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption. And what is the adoption? The redemption of our body. Hallelujah. He's not talking about here. See, redemption of our body is not talking about the resurrected body here. That's not redemption. Oh, see, the old body is going away. There is new creation is going to be coming out of the new creation. It's going to be a new body. It's not redeeming the old. But the adoption of sons is the redemption of our body now, so that our body can operate in the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and can produce the same thing that body, that Jesus' body produced when he was around. That's what the groaning is. Otherwise, you know, you just wait there and the other part is going to happen by itself at the right time. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you see? I better keep track of the time here. Hallelujah. You see, do you see what I'm talking about? You see the things we are getting in? Okay, this is nothing else, the continuation of what we've been doing for the last few months. Okay, we are moving in to where we are at in our time. So my encouragement, my word of exhortation is to come to realize what is there. Stop looking at your own shortcoming and little ideas and stuff, and start allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you, because it's not a man that's going to teach you. You know, if you get taught by me, the only part that you should be taking is what the Holy Spirit speaks through me. Because, you know, if you read first John, is, you know, no man can teach you anything because the anointing is within you. So what's the fivefold ministry for? It's to prepare you, but they have to operate in the Spirit, because only when they operate in the Spirit, they're going to be able to do the work that needs to be done, because you cannot be taught in your mind. You have to be taught in your spirit. It's your spirit that has to learn to operate the way Jesus' Spirit operated. You know, and recently, because of what the Lord has been doing, you know, I understand so much better the Spirit than I ever did before. And it's out of experience more than out of the Scripture that I knew before. See, now some Scripture that I knew before start taking a different content inside me, so that I start connecting to my Spirit in a way that before I wondered, how do I do that? That's why I preach the way I preach, you know, for the last couple of years. Praise the Lord. You know, if we are sons of God, if we become children of God and then sons of God, then our children have to grow up. All right? And the growing up is a question of coming into what is ours. And there is the old thing that we talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1 there. You know, just with all diligence. Okay? So, but if we are the sons of God, the children of God, we should be working for our Father. You see, that's the way it was at the beginning. You know, it's a family business. All right? What Jesus say? I only do what I am just doing my Father's work. And that's what the believers should be doing, the Father's work, not the other things. You know, the other things fall into place automatically. He takes care of all the details. See, I was reading some of the, you know, evangelists in the beginning of 1900. They just depended on God 100%. And he provided all the finances and all the other stuff that they needed. They didn't need to go around begging anybody for money. This is why I don't like preachers that beg for money. I never do, and I never will. If the Holy Spirit doesn't provide the money, God doesn't provide the money, I close. Okay? God is not a beggar. We have everything that we need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, and I believe that, and because of that, I don't have any need. Financially or otherwise. All right. So, you know, no matter what your age, you can be Timothy, young fellow, or a whole guy, doesn't make any difference. Your race, your education, your social status, your gender, doesn't make any difference. If you are a believer, you are called, and you have a mission. And that mission is to let the Holy Spirit do the work that you need to do. It's to work for God. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. And that's the last scripture we can read today. Is, we then, workers together. Can you say workers together? With him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. You see, that is the commission that we have. And the commission that we have is, we are hired by God in his army, in his family, to work in his business. And we all have a part to play. For we say, in an acceptable time, I heard of you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, there is nothing that is there that can stop us. If God is with us. Amen. If God is with us, who can be against us? We can stand in the power of God. We can stand in victory, no matter what's going on. You say, well, you know, but that's not my experience. Well, open up. Let the Holy Spirit work on you. I mean, the apostles didn't go around, you know, trying to do things. They did things. They got results. A little bunch of guys, 12. I mean, Jesus had to have lots of faith to believe in those people because weren't really, you know, there was no anyone that was really qualified from the worldly point of view. They were fishermen or tax collectors or other things like that. So that's really not too exciting company. The only one that was really a theologian was Paul. And this is why he gave us, you see, that's why Jesus gave to him the message to give to us in his epistles, in which he went beyond all the others, one in terms of explanation. But Peter had the same. You read John had the same. Even, you know, you see 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. They had the same message there. It's just it doesn't extend it so much, it doesn't explain that much. But the message was there by everybody. And Jesus announced the message many times, but he couldn't go completely give it because they weren't ready. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. They weren't yet born again. He can only give it. He said that, you know, I cannot, it's too much for you to be burdened to for you. But he came back for many days to talk to them and to explain it to them. After he was resurrected, because then, by them, they were filled with the Holy, they were, you know, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well. And so that was the way that they could receive this understanding. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, we are just at the beginning of a phase that's going to change all Christianity, if you realize it or not. If you see, much of it is shrinking. Many of the beliefs are being rejected. Ministers today don't believe in the resurrection anymore. The implication of that, Paul said very clearly, then their sins are still in them. Doesn't matter how much go around talking about Jesus. If you don't believe in the resurrection, your sins are not being forgiven. Period. Okay? Not my word. It's the scriptures. But this is so common. Heads of denominations making statements about that. Can you imagine the other? But praise God, the truth prevail. Okay? And we will prevail. Because we stand on the word. We don't play around with the word. We allow the word to control our thinking rather than controlling the word with our thinking and our philosophies and our doctrines. Praise the Lord. All right. Should we? Yes? All right. All right. Let's make a confession here of our position. See, one of the best way to really, for others, not just for, your spirit, but even to learn other things, often, you know, what you do, is you find out the truth, and then you speak it out with your own words. Okay, that changes, you know, the way you think inside. I applied that principle when I was still at the university in Rome, you know. And because of that, you know, I was doing better than all my friends. I just repeated things, you know, I prepared myself and I repeated things by myself using a blackboard, and I put down all the stuff there. Okay? And that made such, you know, there is not like here, you know. Most of the exams there are verbal. You go there and you have to do it on the spot. So that's a real good training. All right? Anyway, praise God. So we are going to do some speaking. Amen? Controlling our word and controlling our tongue. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to set us free, to make us able to be children of God. And now, Lord, we open ourselves up to your Holy Spirit to work in us, to change us, to empower us, to equip us for the work that is done, that needs to be done today in the world. We are ready, we are willing, and we'll be obedient to your word. And your word will empower us to do the things you want us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.